Hi, and welcome back to Unsighted, the internet's least reliable English lit podcast. I'm Chantel.
And I'm Amy.
And we're talking about Beowulf. We are actually doing it. We committed to the bit and we're here. I feel like this one was one of those ones that we've been thinking about talking about since before we even started the podcast. And we're kind of putting it off because it is such a mountain.
Would you say it's our big white whale?
It is our white whale. But you know what? We put on our flippers and we're ready to take a swim. We're ready to take a dive, a deep dive in.
Can you tell neither of us have read Moby Dick? Yeah, so we're doing Beowulf this week.
Yes.
Also, June did not like the awu, so I may have to keep my awus to a minimum. It's going to be interesting to see how much of this I conflate with The Wife of Bath.
Oh, exciting. Okay. So they are both in Old English.
Yeah.
And I think that's all they have in common.
Probably.
I always think it's the oldest English poem when I think Beowulf. It's not the oldest English poem. The oldest English poem is Cædmon's Hymn from the 7th century, and this is from the 8th to 11th century.
So this would be the oldest English one, maybe, like when the Kingdom of England was like made, like post William the Conqueror.
Wasn't William the Conqueror 12th century? Because he was the French dude?
It was 1048.
Oh, that could be it.
We're unreliable.
Cædmon's Hymn was in English, for sure. Beowulf is in Old English. We don't know who the authors are, and I say authors because it was written over the course of 3 centuries. Do you think there was one author? Come on.
Yeah. People had a really long life expectancy back then, and then we started oxidizing like plebs.
Yeah, didn't you read the Bible when everyone was living for like 900 years?
Correct. I think Abraham knew what he was doing.
It started as oral literature, so it's like very all over the place. It feels like it should have ended like 6 times.
It's probably older than.
Did you say it's older than oral literature?
No, I say it's probably older than what we think it is if it was oral literature.
It might be. It very
like
well
the story, if this is like the putting down into words the story is probably older.
I could see that. I don't know where that number comes from, because that's when they estimate it was put together and then it was written down somewhere. And now we get to read it. Lucky us.
Lucky us.
Basically just a bunch of people added to it over hundreds of years. And now it's here in our hot little hands on our hot little podcast. And we're having a hot little girl summer. Nope.
I mean,
nope.
We will be having a Taylor Swift episode.
I regret the words that just came out of my mouth very much.
We're having a time.
There's only so many contexts you can use the word little in, and it's not that one.
Well, like, we had Barbie summer last summer.
And we're back on track. It is an Anglo-Saxon poem. Oh, I'm getting it now.
Bonk.
It is an Anglo-Saxon poem. It is mostly set in Scandinavia. The main character is the eponymous Beowulf. He is Geatish. I meant to look up how to pronounce that, and then I didn't. Send us a peer review if you know how. The Geats, or the Goths, were a North Germanic tribe who lived where the south of Sweden is now.
Wait, are you thinking about the goats?
G-E-A-T.
Yeah, I think that's pronounced goat, like as in the Visigoth.
Oh, okay.
I think it's from that branch of like, again, we're not linguists. We could be, but we decided not to declare that minor.
We took some linguistics class, not the one where they taught us how to pronounce random spellings of Old English words.
We specifically avoided the Old English courses.
I simply don't have the energy for it. We read the Middle English stuff in the original, and you know what? I think that's more than most people do.
My dyslexic brain was like, this is fine. And then I realized I understood none of it, and I was like, ah.
But did you understand the Northwest Territories?
I'm sorry, what?
None of it.
Oh, it's gonna be a long episode.
We're having fun. Okay, so in the poem, we start in Denmark. We don't start with Beowulf. Beowulf is not there. Forget about Beowulf. Who's that guy? We start with King Hrothgar. King Hrothgar is a Danish king. He builds a fancy party venue for his warriors to drink and listen to music and get gifts, and that place is called Herat. So Herat becomes like such a poppin' nightclub that Grendel, a monster who lives all the way in the swamplands, is like, not in my backyard, sister. And he comes over and he's like, I'm gonna murder people every night until you stop partying in Herat.
Imagine if you're HOA decided to go off on you like this. I mean, it kind of is. That's beside the point.
Grendel, the original HOA Karen. Grendel swoops in every night to terrorize and kill the Danes. This goes on for several years until word gets around, and word's very slow. There's no internet. There's no Twitter. It needs to go, like...
through horse.
Word of mouth. Literally word of mouth. All the way to goats. And that's where our main man, Beowulf, hears about it. He is a young warrior. So Beowulf is like, hell yeah, I'm gonna go kick this guy's ass. So he assembles a crew of men to help him sail to Denmark and defeat Grendel.
Oh, I know how to pronounce it.
How?
It's either Geats, Geats, or Yachts.
So the also, way I was maybe, pronouncing it.
Maybe Jetas?
So or the way so gotal. Sorry for interrupting. So the way I was saying it was correct, and then you corrected me to the wrong thing, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wait. Geats. Yeah. Geats or Gates. I feel like this is wrong.
I'm gonna keep saying Geats. So Beowulf shows up and he's like, ooh, this is such a cool challenge I'm accepting because I'm such a cool off-the-books guy. And then Hrothgar meets him and he's like, oh, yes, this must be because I did a solid for your dad all those years ago. And you're such a good kid, fulfilling your duty and your destiny. Beowulf, you're so responsible. And Beowulf's like, no, I'm cool. Stop it.
Do you think Beowulf has daddy issues?
Probably. He never mentions his dad, ever.
That's called no contact.
Only other people mention his dad.
That's your dream, dad.
I want to live my own life.
I want to go fight the dragon, not live in the farm in Geats.
Well, he's not a dragon. He's a monster.
He's a dragon.
He's a demon monster.
Where's the dragon from?
At the end. From a different oral writer, probably.
It's a dragon.
So Hrothgar holds a feast for Beowulf because he's going to go fight Grendel. Even though a bunch of people have already tried to defeat Grendel, I don't think he held a feast for all of them. But for some reason, everyone believes that Beowulf is going to be able to defeat Grendel. Beowulf is the guy. Everyone is so on board with Beowulf immediately.
We believe in Troy Bolton.
He's got so much main character syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. He's got his head in the game.
Oh, sorry. Not everyone believes in him because during the feast, some guy named Unferth shows up to talk smack about him and says he hasn't earned his reputation. And then Beowulf is like, actually, check out all this cool stuff I did. And he just lists stuff, which he could easily lie about.
Well, that was the thing. You know, back in the olden days, you could lie about where you came from and what you've done. Like,
yeah, you could lie on your resume so much.
So much. You need a new job? Lie on your resume.
You could pad the hell out of your resume, dude.
You need a new, like, diploma? Make it up. Like, who's gonna know? How would they know? How would they double check?
You need a reference? Just put someone down.
Yeah.
Who probably doesn't pick up the phone.
Because phones didn't exist. Like, you know when they say, like, oh, you can have 7 careers in your life. Yeah, you can have 7 careers when people didn't fucking cross-reference your LinkedIn with somebody else's. I am not advocating for lying on your resume. I'm being very clear here. Don't do that.
Don't lie on your resume. Beowulf could lie on his resume, but no one believes he's lying on his resume. Everyone's like, woo, this dude is gonna go save us and defeat Grendel, even though no one else has been able to. We trust him completely, even though we just met him today. And then they party so hard. In Herat, the place that Grendel specifically hates where you party hard.
Yeah.
So obviously Grendel shows up.
Good. Bring Grendel to the party.
To tell them to get off his lawn again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Taylor Swift has a song about suing people who are on your lawn.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Is it new?
Yeah.
Fun. So Beowulf really wants to be part of the Dead Poets Society, and he, for some reason, decides to fight Grendel unarmed. Uh-huh. He succeeds. I don't know how he keeps doing this. It's, like, really bullshit. Grendel's like, oh shit, this dude is unfucking stoppable. So I guess the stories weren't bullshit, but there's no reason for us to have believed them up to this point until he proves it, but everyone did anyway.
Okay, so you know the meme where it's like, Shakespeare's died in this year and then Taylor Swift was born in this year?
Yeah.
What if it's Beowulf?
That's very good.
Because, like,
have you ever seen Taylor Swift and Beowulf in the same room? I haven't.
I haven't. And they're both fucking unstoppable.
You know how long Beowulf was written for? Forever and always.
I really hope that got picked up on the microphone.
Me too. Snap it out. So Beowulf tears off Grendel's arm, and then Grendel goes back to the swamp to bleed out. Now, if this were a movie, this is where Grendel would have his final scare later.
Right.
Because we didn't see him die on screen.
Right.
And no reason in a movie made today for ripping off someone's arm to be lethal. He obviously is just going to patch up his arm and come back for a final scare.
Right.
But no, that doesn't happen. Grendel just dies.
Grendel was like, you know what? It's fine. You can party. It's okay.
It's your party and I'll cry if you want to. They hang up his arm in the club.
Oh, like a club.
To keep partying under it.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone just thinks Beowulf is the coolest because he has proved himself, but they thought he was the coolest before he did that anyway.
Man, this party has cost an arm.
That's really funny. So they sing songs about him and they start giving him all this treasure. And he's like, yeah, this is where the poem would have ended from the first guy who was writing it. But more guys want to add to it because it's fan fiction of itself. So there's more.
But wait, there's more. Here's another slap shot.
Who else is here? It's Grendel's mom. Did you know Grendel had a mom? Well, he does.
I forgot.
She is a swamp hag who also comes to Club Harriet to take revenge for Grendel's death.
Right.
So first of all, she kills Ashere, who is Hrothgar's advisor.
Ah, darn.
And then she leaves. A vengeance done, right? An eye for an eye. They killed Grendel. She kills Ashere. We can stop with the killing. No.
No.
Because now the Danes want to take revenge for Ashere's death, and we just can't stop killing people. So they go to the lake where Grendel's mother lives. Beowulf, for some reason, now has a sword forged for a giant. Before, he was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this guy on hand-to-hand fucking combat, dude.
Okay. So he has, like, this giant sword. Do we think it's a metaphor for a dick?
Like, it has to be, right?
It has to be.
I mean, he didn't have any weapon when he was fighting the dude monster.
Grendel.
Now he's fighting the lady monster. He has a sword. A giant sword.
Yeah, this is getting icky.
I don't love that at all. Thanks, Amy.
Sorry.
So he goes down to Grendel's mom's underwater lair and kills her with the sword.
Let's gloss over that.
Oh, what else is down there? It's Grendel's body.
Of course.
Grendel is dead. He sure is dead. Confirmed.
Confirmed killed.
He decapitates Grendel's body, and then he takes the head back for Hrothgar.
Okay, so this party has cost an arm and a head. Cool.
An arm and a head. You would think that he'd, like, take back a part of Grendel's mom, right? Because that's the new fight he's done. He's already taken a trophy from Grendel.
Or, like, a leg.
Or a leg. Whatever. Slowly rebuild a new being out of the different monsters he's killed.
Sure.
It just makes me think he's going to slowly be collecting parts of Grendel's body until he brings back the whole thing, but this never comes up again.
In various states of bog body.
Yeah.
Bogman confirmed Grendel.
Various states of decay. Yeah, I guess they're just reassembling parts of Grendel in their weird little shrine in Club Harriet.
You know what they say about the Danes?
What do they say about the Danes?
I don't know, I was hoping you would know.
I love you. Okay, so, wow, the Danes love Beowulf even more now. Now he's their hero times two, because that was obviously the sequel of the first part of the poem.
Sure.
This should be the end of the poem. Again, this should be the end of the second part of the poem.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is this is very fast and furious.
It is.
You're like, this is done. No, it's not. This is done. No, it's not. This is done. Tokyo Drift. No, it's not.
Yeah.
This is done. Fast Five.
He's going to go Tokyo Drift over to Gates right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He gives Hrothgar an emotional goodbye. And he's like, you were like a father to me. I was like, okay. Like, you've known him for what? Like a week?
He has daddy issues.
He has major daddy issues.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he didn't take Grendel's mom's body. Because he's fine with his mom.
Oh, interesting. Maybe he is imagining himself as Grendel. And so he needs to reassemble the parts of himself. And since there's no therapy, he just needs to Frankenstein that shit together again.
So what I'm hearing is Frankenstein is a fan fiction of Beowulf.
Frankenstein is Grendel confirmed?
Yeah.
Not clickbait.
That's what he knows Paradise Lost, right?
Okay, no, but I do want to talk about Paradise Lost later for real, because...
Gross.
Because Milton would fucking live for this shit, you know? Because his whole thing was fan fiction, and this is nothing but fan fiction of itself. If Milton was alive in this era, he would have been all the fuck over Beowulf.
Milton, confirmed satirist of Beowulf.
So Beowulf Tokyo drifts back to Geatland, and he reunites, not with his father. We know he has daddy issues. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, does he reunite with his girl?
No. The king and the queen.
Okay.
Hygelac and Higgs.
How fun.
So he tells them
how creative
about his adventures, which they believe without question. Everyone loves believing Beowulf. I think Beowulf must have the most honest face in the world.
Beowulf is coming off as this, like, person that, like, says the most extravagant things And people are like, oh my God, yes. And he's just like, how far can I get away with this? And he just keeps going. And I was like, yeah, I defeated his mom also. And then I took his head. And they're like, wow, Beowulf, thank you so much for this fun story. And he's like, I had a grilled cheese.
You know what Beowulf is giving right now?
Mm.
How well do you know Schitt's Creek?
Very.
Okay. You know how Alexis in Schitt's Creek will always randomly come up with stories about like, oh yeah, this is just like that time when I was on a cruise ship and then I got kidnapped by pirates.
Yeah.
And then I lived in the pirate cavern for 2 weeks and I became the pirate bride. And then they eventually let me off at a local sailor port.
Yeah. Or like that time she was in Thailand and got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those times. That's what Beowulf does. And it's like all true stuff. And it's like the craziest shit you've ever heard in your entire life.
Yeah. And you're like, Alexis, you were 17. And Beowulf's like, yeah, it's fine. Ew, David.
I mean, he probably was like very young because people did stuff very young.
Yeah, yeah, but he lives to be like 1700 million years old, so it's fine.
Yeah, he lives another 50 years.
He lives all of the years.
He lives another 50 years. So, I mean, I would doubt Beowulf more. I would doubt Beowulf more than everyone is. That's what all I'm saying. So he gives Hygelac, the king, most of his treasure. Then there's this weird little swappy thing. He gives Hygelac his treasure. Hygelac rewards him, I assume, with more treasure. I don't understand why we don't just cut out the middleman and he keeps the treasure and Hygelac's like, oh, you found my wallet? You keep that 20 bucks that was in it, dude. You know, like it's like he gives back the wallet with 20 bucks in it and then Hygelac is like, oh, here's a different 20 bucks.
Well, I think it's more like, hey, here's the treasure I found. Can you give me something more useful? Like, I don't know, cloth. And then Hygelac is like, here's some cloth trophy.
Or maybe it's like land. I don't know. I'm confused about this part.
Well, that's the thing with like pre-super capitalist places. It was still a capitalist system, bear with me here, but like, you know, there was like more of an exchange of like things than of
a barter cash system. Money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's just weird.
But also it's like, you know how soldiers went to fight in the war and then they came back and they got land that was not theirs yet?
Yes.
It's like that.
Okay, yeah. It is like that. So time goes by. Hygelac dies in a war against the Shieflings. We've never heard of the Shieflings before. We will never hear of the Shieflings again. All of these words are very made up. Hygelac's son also dies. Did we know Hygelac had a son? Not sure.
No, because he cared about Beowulf more.
Beowulf probably adopted him as his third dad because he's got such major daddy issues. So Beowulf, because he's so big and strong and good, becomes king of the Geats.
Yeah, yeah, because the kid died.
He rules for 50 years. He brings great prosperity to the land. That should be the end of the poem.
But
it's not. So now he's an old, old man. But more people want to add to this poem.
Yeah, because Beowulf is like the guy now.
Oh, surprise. There's been a dragon guarding a hoard of treasure in a hill this whole time. This whole time there's just been a dragon in Geatland and it's been fine. Yes?
Have you heard of, bear with me here, James Bond?
Yes. Okay. I'm following.
Okay. The first James Bond movie should have been enough.
Yes.
The second James Bond movie should have been enough.
Yes.
When they had to change actors, should have been enough.
Uh-huh.
People keep adding to it.
I think that's exactly what this is, Amy.
Mm. Beowulf, James Bond confirmed.
I think you're onto something because people really love this character.
Yeah.
He's like their hero of the canon. At the time, they want to keep building stories with him. So they just keep adding shit on, even though the story's obviously wrapped up in a neat little bow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good. I like that a lot.
You're welcome.
Beowulf is James Bond, confirmed.
Yeah.
Beowulf, played by Idris Elba.
Idris Elba is too smart to be James Bond.
Okay. So there's a dragon. You know why it's not fine anymore? Because a thief goes and disturbs the dragon's hoard and the dragon gets pissed off and starts flying around breathing fire at people. Uh-oh. Can't have that.
Nope.
So Beowulf knows that he's old. He's lived his life. He doesn't want to put other people at risk. He's probably going to die soon anyway. So he goes to fight the dragon. I don't know why he does this. He brings his bravest warrior with him. Kind of defeats the purpose.
Well, you see, sometimes when you know you're going into self-sacrifice mode, you bring a friend.
Oh no. His friend is there for moral support. His friend is very serious, and that's why he has a very, very serious name, and no one has ever laughed at it, and his name is Wiglaf.
Wig snatched.
So they kill the dragon, but it also bites Beowulf and kills him.
Oh, R.I.P. You see, James Bond doesn't die.
The end. Or is it?
I don't know. Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh. Until.
But they leave it open for a sequel because the Geats are worried that someone will attack them now because their king is dead. And they give him this ceremonial funeral and they bury him with a bunch of treasure. The end. Actually, really for real. I say they should give the throne to Wiglaf because Wiglaf is fine. Wiglaf is obviously the next Beowulf. Like, if the way that they decide who gets the crown is it's the bravest person in the land who has done the most daring exploits, it's Wiglaf.
Wiglaf was there, yeah. Yeah.
Wiglaf is all the fuck over it, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have some analysis.
Yeah.
I didn't look up any analysis of this poem. This is gonna all be off the dome because I don't think I wrote anything about this in school.
Oh, no.
Because I think even then...
We avoided it like the plague.
Yeah. We avoided it like the black fucking plague.
I think I avoided Beowulf more than I avoided COVID, and I avoided that shit like a lot.
So according to the online sources that I looked at when I was looking for the plot of this again, the symbolism is basically it represents like the values of the era. It does, I guess. Like right now, we value humbleness. Obviously, they did not value humbleness because Beowulf does not stop bragging the entire time and everyone believes him. I guess they valued honesty because everyone believes him, even though there's no clear reason to. But if we're getting into it more than that, I don't think you can say any one thing symbolizes any one thing because it was written by so many people over such a long time that, like, I think what the symbols are is they're a symbol of the complexity of human interpretation of symbols, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the way that we can see Grendel is kind of like how we see Frankenstein's monster in Frankenstein. Like, Mary Shelley saw Frankenstein's monster and she was like, that guy is just a dude trying to live his life. He's like an outcast. He's a poor, unfortunate soul. He's sympathetic. He's misunderstood.
His special interest is Milton.
And then Percy Shelley saw Frankenstein's monster and was like, that is a demon. That is a creature of hell. That is a murderous being and it deserves death. And those two things were written into the same story. And that's why we see incongruity. But like, we know this one was also written by multiple people. So I think the thing with Grendel is that like the first person was like Percy Shelley, where they were like, Grendel is just a monster. Grendel just doesn't want people in his yard. Grendel's gonna murder without any regard for like the consequences of his actions. And Grendel's going to die. I think someone popped in there somewhere and was like, but what if the monster isn't such a monster? And maybe he was misunderstood, and maybe he has a family, and maybe he has a mom, and maybe the mom is sad that he's dead, you know?
Because it's all about family.
Because it's all about family.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Maybe that person had a stronger family connection. Maybe they didn't have daddy issues like Beowulf did, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think a third person popped in and was like, yeah, but what if the monster's mom was an even worse monster? Because you know what? It's the parents' fault, and specifically the mother's fault when the kid goes wrong.
Disney.
You know?
Yeah. Beowulf, Disney confirmed.
Yeah, I think because it's like such a fan fiction of itself, like there's no real symbolism that carries throughout the whole poem. It's very wishy-washy on like what it means, which is kind of good because then it's like open to interpretation and you can kind of do what you want with it.
Yeah, I think Beowulf scholars right now are just like listening to this podcast, presuming that they do, because of course they do, because why wouldn't they? Just like pulling out their hair being like, there's so much!
Like, I mean, okay, the dragon part had to have been written by one dude or one somebody.
Because girls can write too.
No, girls can't do things.
No, girls are only able to have stupid podcasts that are unreliable, apparently. It's us. We're girls.
We're girls. Of course we're going to have an unreliable podcast.
We're girls. Of course we're going to be too lazy and too tired to do the research.
We're girls. We're going to compare Beowulf to James Bond. I mean, like, what does the dragon mean? What does the dragon mean to you? To me, the dragon is a much less developed part of the story than Grendel is. But that makes sense because the Grendel part had to go through like 3 centuries of revisions. And the dragon part was probably just tacked on in like the last 50 or so years of this poem existing.
Yeah, I feel like the dragon is like somebody going, but there wasn't an ending. And then being like, yeah, of course there's an ending. He's king. And they're like, no, there's not an ending. We need an ending. And he's like, well, we have an ending.
He reigned with prosperity on the land for 50 years. That's the ending.
That's the ending. And he's like, no, no. He's like a war god. He needs like a proper fitting of like a like hero ending.
We need to bury him with a bunch of treasure that used to belong to a dragon in a hill overlooking the sea where he sailed to defeat Grendel with the Danes.
I wonder how much of this was written pre, like, conquering of England and how much of it was written post-conquering.
I mean, there was multiple conquerings of England, weren't there? Like, what are you considering the conquering of England here?
Well, I got confused. I'm wondering at which point, what happened throughout the span of this poem for them to feel like there needed to be a fitting ending to this story. That fitting of a hero, which is dying gloriously in battle after defeating the big bad thing. I wonder if, and again, I had know nothing about this time period, but I wonder, like, you know, did the Romans show up and fuck shit up? Did the Saxons come back? I don't know.
I mean, like, I can look this up right now. I'm going to grab my phone in a second. But I can't even guarantee that this was written, like, in England proper. Like, it was written in Old English.
Mm.
But isn't Old English, like, basically just Germanic? And it's set in a Germanic tribe that's not in England.
Okay, so this was probably written before William the Conqueror showed up.
That was 1200, right?
Per what I'm... That was 1048.
It's written the 8th to the 11th century, so it would have finished in, like, the thousands.
Am I wrong with my 1048? Where's William the Conqueror? When did you conquer the William?
It says it was composed in England. Now it's saying it was composed between the 7th and end of the 10th century.
That's what I'm looking at now.
So yeah, it would have happened before William the Conqueror.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like different people have different opinions about when this was actually composed. But it definitely takes place in the early 6th century, people agree.
Uh-huh.
And it was written primarily in the West Saxon dialect of Old English.
That checks out. When did he fucking conquer England? Jesus Christ. When was the Battle of Hastings? Is that what I'm looking for? I don't know. Yes. Okay, the Battle of Hastings occurred in 1066.
Okay.
Not 1048. I don't know what that means. It's probably not good.
You were so close.
So in 1066, and then if Beowulf was written sometimes in the thousands.
It finished being composed. Some things that I look at say at the end of the 10th century, which would have been the 900s, and some places say until the 11th century, which would have been the thousands. So it finished being composed either just before or just after William the Conqueror came to England and did the conquering.
Which might explain why we needed a big bad ending for our conquering person thing.
I can see that. I wonder if Beowulf is supposed to be William the Conqueror or if the dragon is supposed to be William the Conqueror.
Mm.
Like, are we imagining that William the Conqueror has been this hero the whole time? Or are we imagining, like, an alternate reality where the person who is trying to come in and take over this land and do a bunch of killing actually gets taken down? Like, what is the value system of that last writer, you know?
Right. There's a lot of heralds at the Battle of Hastings. So, like, you know, there's that.
Well, they were heralding in the future.
Yeah.
Herald, like, with an E or herald with an A?
With an A. Their last name is Godwinson.
They only had so many names, is the thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Beowulf.
Yeah, and our poor attempt at understanding early English history. I swear I have a minor in history.
I think that, you know, sometimes you just need to conquer your fear.
Look, here's the thing, okay? War of the Roses, we got it. We understand it. We're well-versed. We know our history. We know our family tree. We can talk to you about it for literally hours. This?
There was someone in England. There were the Anglos and the Saxons and somebody else.
And the Normans.
And the Normans. See? Amy's got it. Amy's got a minor in history. I don't. Then, and at some point, Beowulf happened and was composed and people told it around their little campfires. And now you're sitting around your little campfire in the middle of the woods with your AirPods in your ears. Oh, you should take one AirPod out of your ear and see if there's any bears around. No bears around. You're good. Oh, what's that behind you? It's just Mothman. You're fine with your little campfire and you're listening to us tell it to you. Okay. And I think the beautiful thing about this is that it has come full circle.
If I may also bring it back.
No.
Sweet Chantel. Taylor Swift has a song called So Long London. And I think that's how we should leave off this Beowulf chapter of our life. So long, Beowulf.
So long, Bay of London.
It's funny because that's also about her bay, who's not her bay anymore.
Oh.
She had a song called London Boy, and then she also dated another English guy, and then she wrote this song called So Long, London. which is all about the No More London Boy.
I wonder if the London Boy is now dating the Galway girl.
Ooh, what about Nancy Mulligan? How's she doing?
I think that she died happily in old age in a rocking chair.
Like fucking Beowulf should've.
After 50 years of bringing prosperity to the kingdom, the end.
Wrap it up.
So, if you like this episode, thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for listening. Please give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening right now. The 5 stars, I'm sure, is just right at the top of whatever screen you're on. And we look at all of them. We look at all of the things that you write to us, and we appreciate it a lot. And it makes our day. We can also be found on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at UncitedPod if you want to talk to us, if you want to give us peer reviews about this, if you have further insights about Beowulf or English history, or if you want to suggest things that you might want to hear on the podcast. Sometimes we get to them if we are feeling particularly energetic. Otherwise, we really appreciate hearing from you anyway, and we hope to see you in 2 weeks.
As always, we're excited, unavailable.
It's Beowulf, Amy.
Ow!
No, okay.
When your bae thinks you're cute, he goes, "Woo."
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
We're serious this time.